Hi, everyone. Happy Friday. Today, I am joined by Tyler, Andy, and Seth, and we're going to be learning about preparing for the upcoming changes to search algorithms. So let's talk about this, guys. I know this is kind of technical, but let's see if we can break it down. What is the latest algorithm change, and when will it be happening?
Go for it, guys. I'm going to listen more on this one.
Okay, yeah. So Google announced recently that they're going to be introducing three new things that they're calling the Core Web Vitals. These are really around page speed and performance. They're introducing these alongside the mobile-friendly, safe browsing, the HTTPS, the interstitials, all the things that they've been really harping on webmasters and site owners for the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. This will really help to improve the user experience for Google searchers by ensuring that the pages that are on the other side of that click on the SERPs are going to be performant. You're not going to be sitting there for, you know, seconds and seconds waiting for a page to actually materialize in your browser. And that's slated to happen at the end of this year. This is going to be a pretty big change, and so that's why we want to get it out in front of everyone really early and help just boost the Google announcement so that nobody's caught off guard. And if you start soon and your site is having these performance issues with some of the tools we'll talk about a little bit later, there are lots of steps and lots of time that you have to still make fixes so that come end of 2020, you aren't looking at a plummet in your SEO efforts and rankings.
Right. I mean, Google has long considered the page experience to be part of one of, you know, their major ranking, among their major ranking factors. And as Tyler mentioned, you know, within the last year, we've had a big emphasis on mobile friendly. Google's doing mobile first indexing, so it's really looking at that mobile experience. They've encouraged people to do AMP pages, which is essentially the mobile friendly, Google's mobile friendly format. Takes some work, but it's definitely worth doing. Enforcing secure browsing through HTTPS and so forth. So all of these things contribute to a better, more secure, and more responsive page experience. But now Google is really going to drill down a little bit more into the factors that make for good user experience on that page that's been indexed. And so these vitals really revolve around sort of three general buckets, one of them having to do with the way the page loads, one having to do with interactivity and how long it takes for the page to become interactive, and then finally also how stable is the page. You know, we've all had experiences where you get onto a page and then elements are still rendering and it jumps around a lot, and things that you thought you were going to click on suddenly move out of the way and you're clicking on something else. It's particularly annoying with ads. So they're going to be focusing on those three aspects as what they're calling their Core Web Vitals.
So let's talk more about those Core Web Vitals. What are they? Can you break them down for me, Tyler?
Yeah. So the first one that Andy mentioned was the largest contentful paint, or LCP. This is really going to be like that first point where the majority of the site has loaded in. This is usually something that's included with a lot of performance tools right now already, and something that Google has already been, as Andy mentioned, gathering a lot of data on for quite a while. So they have this kind of sweet spot here at a 2.5 second mark, where, you know, they're calling that their good phase. And you get up to 4 seconds of grace time in this metric where they're calling it needs improvement. And anything after that, we suspect is going to, you know, really be deprioritized in the SERPs as far as position there goes. So the second piece is first input display. This is, like Andy had mentioned, measuring interactivity. This is when kind of that first opportunity the user has to actually interact with the page. So when they can click on something, tap on something, if there's some sort of like JavaScript scroller event or thing that's going to be firing there. And really this is like kind of the, what I would call the the gold standard as far as being able to actually use the page. Because like Andy had said, that, you know, things are continuing to shift, especially if you've got web fonts that are loading incorrectly and things like that. This is really gonna, these all are gonna impact each of these metrics. And this first input display, or FID, is one of the key ones. You've got 100 milliseconds of grace time here to be considered good. That means that any of your scripts or, you know, things like this are going to be really important that they're being prioritized properly, and that they're loading asynchronously to prevent any sort of collisions or backups here. And the final one is the cumulative layout shift. This is when Andy was talking about the page kind of shifting. And I know we've all been there where you're about ready to click on that piece in the hero banner, but then it shifts down because there's maybe a video in the background that wasn't prioritized properly as the page renders. And this is one where, again, like web fonts and things are also going to impact this. So if the web font isn't being loaded correctly, it can kind of have a cascade effect down all three of these metrics, but this cumulative layout shift is going to be the one that's most visible to the user. I'm sure we've all seen it where a website loads in with one font and then there's a really split second delay where then the font shifts to a fancier version, something that's more styled or branded. And things like that are really going to negatively impact this metric here. And so those are things where they're relatively easy to fix. Those fixes will have a site-wide impact, positive impact, and they'll really help to clean up some of these metrics and decrease the intervals that Google is really looking for site owners to be tightening up here through the introduction of these core web vitals.
So we've long known that performance is huge. It's important, first of all, just from a standpoint of consideration for good user experience. The better the user experience, the more likely your page is to rank, but also it's the right thing to do for end users. Nobody wants to wait, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seconds for a web page to load. And a lot of times we don't. If we feel the page is loading slowly, we are just out of there. We go on to the next thing, and then you lose that visit. And there's a huge drop off once you get much over 4 or 5 seconds of load time. What Google has done is they've zeroed in on these three factors as being the most important, the ones that they're going to prioritize for now. They've kind of left the door open that they could potentially add others to this list of core web vitals. But right now they're saying, hey, if you want really good user experience, focus on these three things: the load time, the interactivity, and the stability of the elements on the page that somebody is visiting. If you get those things right, then we will reward you with improved rankings. If you ignore or neglect these things, then don't be surprised if your page starts sliding down in ranking. So it's kind of a shot across the bow in a polite way. And they have said that they will not implement this right away. End of year is kind of the time frame for this, even beginning of next year. And they've said that they will give everybody, you know, at the point at which they have a date certain, they will give everybody a 6-month lead time. So there's time to think about this, perform the technical audits, start looking at these metrics and understanding how your site ranks, begin to make plans as to how you want to address that with this is going to become a standard part of every technical SEO audit and of site monitoring in general.
So speaking of addressing it, I mean, these things sound really important, but it's a little overwhelming. You know, it sounds like I've got some time, but are there any tools or solutions that can help out?
Fortunately, there's a ton. And many of them are tools that people are already familiar with or should be familiar with. So one of the best is, if you don't already have Google Search Console, like, what are you waiting for? That's actually one of the greatest tools you can have for SEO optimization. So search engine optimization, strangely enough, for optimization of your organic search, let's put it that way. And and it wires into Google Analytics, so you can get Google Search Console reports right in Google Analytics. But if you dive down into Search Console, you can get a lot more detailed information. And among the things that you can get now is a Core Web Vitals report. They've actually got a tab for it, and it will show you for both mobile and desktop, which are your poor URLs, which are your good URLs, and which ones potentially need improvement. So it's essentially you can score your site, you know, with that. There's also a Chrome extension for Web Vitals. Google PageSpeed Insights is another one.
And Andy, can we just, I want to pause on the Google Search Console report here. All of these other tools that we're going to talk about are gathering really limited amounts of data through one very specific use case. So the Chrome browser extension, for instance, is going to be using your device's connection speed. It could simulate it, other connection speeds, but then also like different extensions and things that you have installed in Chrome are going to impact that as well. Whereas the data that Google is gathering through Google Search Console and Google Analytics, that's actual user data. And that's the data that Google is going to be using to make the determinations in any ranking impacts or changes for your site. So while all these other tools are great diagnostic metrics, the one that you really have to pay attention to here is going to be the data coming right from Google and right from Google Search Console. So checking in there and really seeing how your site is performing with real users on real networks, that's what Google wants to know, not the simulations, not, you know, all of the, well, yeah, it's about that. They want to know how it's actually performing, because again, this is all about user experience, and they've been gathering a lot of data already on this. So use their data as your source of truth and all these other tools that we're about to talk about, as those diagnostic metrics and helping you to really dig deeper than what Google Search Console is going to allow directly through its report. So Andy, if you want to keep on rolling, I know there's a lengthy list here that we've got amassed. So
well, also if you go Google Developers, you know, their developer subsite subdomain has the Chrome User Experience Report. If you Google Chrome User Experience Report, you will basically get to that. That's where they're aggregating a lot of this data and sharing it. So that's actually a good way to see sort of overall what's going on. Search Console obviously will give you a good handle on what's going on your own properties and properties that you control. And then yes, there's these other ones. You may already have these tools or use them. Webpagetest.org, for example, provides 2 out of 3. New Relic, they have their browser agent now actually provides for 2 out of these 3 indicators. So you already have these tools. You can now track your own Web Core Vitals, you know, within these tools. But by all means, use Search Console, check out Google PageSpeed Insights, which is actually feeding the Chrome UX report. These are all good ways to get a handle on not just how your site is performing in general, but which pages in particular are, you know, sort of in the good pile versus the bad versus the needs improvement. And then you can go about starting to take the steps to improve performance on those pages.
Yeah, the tool that I'd like to just take a minute to highlight is New Relic in this stack. And it's really exciting to see that they're considering including the cumulative layout shift, because once they get that in there, if you have purchased their browser insights kind of section of their tool, that's actually going to be gathering data again from real users. And the powerful piece here, while that isn't the exact same data that Google's going to be collecting, it's going to be pretty darn close. And that will then also connect you with any sort of JavaScript or Ajax-based errors or issues, slow queries within your application that are all impacting this. And within the New Relic environment, you'll be able to drill down into individual traces on a specific issue that one user had, a real user on your site, in addition to, you know, all of its other powerful tools. And you can set up alerts so that if you are getting pages or specific views or things when we're talking about Drupal that are negatively impacting some of these metrics, you can get some proactive reporting so that before it becomes a big cumulative issue, you can kind of nip it in the bud early. And that can also help if you're deploying New Relic within your either dev or staging environments, so that before your deploys are going to a production space, you can be running those simulations and testing within those environments to help identify those potential issues early before they ever find their way to your live production space.
So those are awesome tools and recommendations, but let's say I use all the tools, I do all the things, and then my website still just isn't working, at least in terms of core vitals. What should I look to do?
Well, understanding the problem is part of it and identifying the pages. But from there, you need to work with your development team or hire developers that are familiar with this, with page performance and site performance, and look into specifically what could be going on. And there's an extensive list of things that you can do. If you go to Google PageSpeed Insights, for example, and you just plug any page in, it will tell you exactly, not just for the core vitals, but for dozens of other indicators, where things are slowing down and what you can do about it. And it often comes down to simplifying the amount of JavaScript that you have on the page that might be hampering interactivity. It often means optimizing the images that you have. We often see a lot of unoptimized images. And even when you use image optimization plugins, that can potentially also still, if too many of those plugins pile up, then you might be optimizing your images, but then it's potentially hampering the interactivity. So you got a lot of trade-offs there. Lazy loading of images, where the image doesn't necessarily have to load right away if it's below the fold, is another thing that is a common way to address these factors. Some other things that Google recommends doing in just general is try and keep your page sizes small. They recommend under 500 kilobytes. Limit the number of page resources that get accessed or called up. Keep that 50 or under. And also, although Google is actually de-emphasizing to some degree AMP pages, they're going to allow non-AMP pages to rank in some of their top stories. But consider using AMP. It's still an AMP page is highly mobile friendly, very optimized. There's some restrictions on it. It's not always straightforward to implement, but once you've got it down, the AMP pages can be really, they perform very, very well. And so consider that as a way to meet the requirements for Web Vitals. And of course, we perform audits. Many firms perform technical audits and identify these bottlenecks. And so if this is something that it is very technical, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of different factors in play. So working with a firm like O8 that's got deep technical expertise and can identify and knows its way around solutions for these can be a way to address these if you don't have the resources in-house. Okay, that was my plug.
Yeah, the really challenging thing with a lot of these is they're quite technical. And take WordPress, for example. Like Andy, you mentioned, there are several image optimization plugins or several site speed and page speed plugins that will compress JavaScript and modify some things. The challenge with those plugins, though, for most site owners is that their scope is limited. So there are lots of things that happen outside of that plugin's control that are still going to be stacking JavaScript and CSS and injecting their own web fonts, especially like when you think about icons. And there are images that are outside of those types of plugins reach. All of those things complicate this situation for most site owners who aren't very technical, because it's not just as simple as throwing that plugin onto your site, ticking the boxes, and then hitting go. You will realize some gains with those types of things, but really you need to be looking at a more holistic solution for resolving some of the issues that are going to come out of the audits and things that you're going to be doing with these tools here. And, you know, one of the things, you know, that we really like to do outside of actually digging in and modifying the theme and things like that is going to be to apply a solution that's going to sit above the site and will encompass the site in its whole. And that's where some tools that we're really fond of, like Cloudflare, come into play. So their JavaScript and image optimization tools, Mirage and Polish and things like that, are fantastic. And those will go beyond the reach and scope of any sort of WordPress or even Drupal-based module or plugin can do as far as improving the site speed here. So in summary, like, look at Cloudflare, but also beyond that, there are going to be things that you're going to have to get your roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty with some code in order to address these things satisfactorily.
Right. Or it might be time, if you're on an older CMS or an older version of a CMS, I mean, if you're on Drupal 7, you're already facing end of life situation for that. If you're on an older version of WordPress, or you're on a non-open source CMS, this might be a good time to think about changing things up, migrating your site to a current version of a open source CMS, like Drupal or WordPress, and potentially rethinking your hosting. It may be that you've got a low-cost hosting environment. It was good when you started out, but now traffic on your site is scaling up and it is impacting your performance. So either upgrading your hosting to a dedicated server, for example, or adding a content distribution network to offload your content to really fast content servers, all of that can really help. Or you may just have to change hosting providers and find someone who's really up to the task. And so those are all things that can potentially go into your consideration set when you start seeing like really poor numbers on these core web vitals.
Yeah, and you know, I was just gonna chime in and say that and be helpful on this thing. But you know, right now people are maybe a little hesitant to change something as big as their homepage and as impactful as their homepage. So you can A/B test. Remember that you can send traffic to 50% of the old one and 50% of the new one. You might check out your homepage and you kind of reached a maximum of what you can do with that. And it might just be easier to start over, but that feels scary right now. But just remember to think about A/B testing, and that can be a great way to handle this.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to loop back to Andy's point, modernizing your CMS and your web infrastructure, if you haven't recently, that's gonna be huge as far as all this goes. You could have the most optimized site possible, and if you're sitting on a shared hosting space for $15 a month, you're never ever going to be able to overcome the setbacks that alone is going to impose on your site. You can invest thousands and thousands of dollars optimizing your site, and if the infrastructure it's sitting on isn't good, you're playing a losing game there, unfortunately. So that was a great point, Dandy. Yeah, and to Seth's point, A/B test, like if you're talking about, you know, we see a lot of businesses, they love their really big multi-image sliders, and those are just bandwidth hogs. And they usually aren't all that effective, but a lot of internal stakeholders, to Seth's point, they get nervous, they get scared, like they love that banner. It's, you know, there's emotional attachment there, and I totally get that, especially when you have lots of different stakeholders within an organization. That's a great way to give them top slot simultaneously. Run an A/B test with that removed, just a single value proposition or a single promotion there in that space. One well-optimized image versus three or five is gonna save you a ton of time on these things. And that's going to have a bigger impact on your page load speed than you think. And I suspect that it's probably going to have a pretty positive impact on your conversion rate optimization as well.
And there's tricks that you can use also to get around some of that if that's not an option. For example, you don't have to load that video right off the bat. You can load essentially a very high performing placeholder image. And that becomes then, I mean, because the largest contentful paint, the LCP, the thing that's really based on load time, is just looking at how long does it take. It looks for the largest image in the viewable area of the page, and then it says based on that, how much time is it taking for that to load, and that's how it's deriving that metric. So one of the ways that you can do that is provide a good user experience by providing that placeholder image there. And then once you have satisfied the LCP, then go ahead and load the video in the background, and you can get it running, or you can have it available for click. People are probably not going to click it within the first couple of seconds of the site loading anyway. So, and even if it's going to start playing in the background, initially it can move a second later and people will more or less experience that page the same. So if you have a marketing department or a management that is just in love with that large moving video background or those sliders, there's ways that you can essentially get the page to be a good user experience and still hold on to them if those are really sacrosanct in your organization.
Yeah, that's great, Andy. A good experienced development team has lots of tricks up their sleeve to get at that kind of user experience while also addressing a lot of these performance issues.
Those are all really great points, guys. And we do this kind of work all the time. We know we covered a lot and it is super technical, but let us help you. And you know, we can perform an audit. We can actually execute on some of these things and just advise you. As Seth always says, just talk to us. We're here to help. You know, you can even join us here on these digital lunch boxes and chime in on the comments and we can answer your questions in live time. But with the couple minutes we have left, I do just want to make a little announcement. You know, congratulations to our CEO, Seth. We did mention before that he won the Business of Pride Award. So if you're in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, please look at that special edition that was released today. We were supposed to be able to honor him at an event yesterday, and you know, COVID just kind of took that. So he will be honored next year, but we do just want to give him a little shout out and thank you so much for all the work you do, Seth. It's just awesome. So congratulations again, and thanks for joining us, guys.